There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby!
That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile. Glad to have you here on this Tuesday, the last Tuesday of Midday Mobile on a Tuesday of 2025. Like that means anything. But yeah, we're here. Glad to have you along. Phone number and text line, they're the same. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106. Get your phone call through. Also, it's good for a text and with the FM Talk 106.5 app. And what a year 2025 has been for the app. Big improvements in the app. Very high rate of adoption of the app. It's a great thing. So 2025, the year of the FM Talk 106.5 app. If you haven't gotten it, better get it done while it's 2025. I don't know why it's better than 26, but I mean, just get it done now. Go to, if you're an iPhone user, go to the App Store. If you're an Android user, go to Google Play. Both places, look for FM TALK 1065, and then you'll see our logo. Search for that. You'll see our logo. That's the app. Download it. It's free. It's got, of course, you can stream the station on there. Lets you access the first place our podcast post, or to, so the, like, I don't know. It's just the way the web is. The first place that populates the podcast when they go up each day, it pops up there on the app. Plus, our social media feeds aggregate news right there, show schedules, and yes, the talkback feature. A microphone icon there on the front page. If you'll press that, lets you record a message, and then it emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air as well. All right, and then let me also, so that's the app. Let me guide you over to the website. We have a panoply of places to interact with us online. From social media feeds to the app to the website, fmtalk1065.com, where we are right here at the end of the voting for Alabamian of the Year for 2025. That's the person, place, thing, event that most moved the news cycle in our state in 2025. And it's down to two, the inflatable Fairhope protest penis and the Mobile Beaver Removal Project. Those are the final ones here, and your votes, well, their votes count right now because very soon we'll be crowning Alabamian of the Year. So go to fmtalk1065.com. Right there on the right-hand side under the 1-800-GOT-JUNK logo, you'll see the place to vote. You can vote right there. Keep the votes coming, and we'll get them all tallied up. All right, as we start off, a couple of things happening here. We've got April Marie Fogel joining me about 12:35. Got Kyle Hamrick from LANAP joining me in the 1 o'clock hour. So that's happening. Before that, too, I want to kind of go through a couple of the international news stories, top news stories, and then kind of look back at some of the big stories of the year. While we do that, so because we can do all these things, because y'all are good like that. We can do all these things at the same time. What I'd like you to do is give me your New Year's resolution. I'll throw some out myself maybe later on in the show. On the text line, your news year, what is your New Year's resolution? It can be very specific, general. I'm not going to call you out by name, whatever. Just I'd like to hear what you're resolving to be better at or do less of or whatever in this new year. Hit us up on the text line at 251-343-0106. All right, news stories as we get started. We'll get to the Venezuela, the port facility, the dock, the floating dock that got hit that you heard in the national news there. Before that, though, I'm not sure, but I think I'm pretty close to saying 50% of what's on Fox News these days is the fraud in Minnesota. Now, obviously, it serves well because, I mean, it's run by somebody they told us was just this regular guy that was going to be our vice president, right? The governor there, Walz. And so you got that. you've got the long-going fraud, this situation in Minnesota. But it is interesting, too, that it's dominating so much of what Fox News... I mean, like, okay, as I look up now, they're doing the story again. So I thought this was interesting. As Somalis, you know, the story keeps getting bigger and bigger. The Somali community there, and what, 70, 80%? I have to get the story in front of me, but I think 70, 80% of the people involved in this fraud were Somali national or Somali immigrants. And on top of that, so there's this, there's the Somali story that everybody's been talking about. The other one, though, I saw this yesterday. Thought this was interesting. There's Somali land. And I know that sounds like a, if you don't, you're not familiar with the country, it sounds like some ill-conceived theme park, right? But Israel, this is a little realpolitik, international stuff. Israel is now defending Somaliland move at the UN amid concerns over Gaza motives. So here's the formal recognition. So that Somaliland as a country, a self-declared country, has been around a while, but they haven't been recognized by any other country, right? You could say you're a country until the others, right? Israel is the first country to recognize the Republic of Somaliland. So Israel is defending its formal recognition of the self-declared Republic of Somaliland, but several countries at the UN questioned whether the move aimed to relocate Palestinians from Gaza or to establish military bases. Israel, out of all the countries, think about this, is the first country to recognize Somaliland as an independent and sovereign state. Israel's deputy UN ambassador, Jonathan Miller, said it's not a hostile step towards Somalia, nor because there's Somalia and then there's Somaliland. They had the, you know, big civil war, and this area said, well, we're not part of Somalia. Somalia, we are Somaliland. I guess it's like Disney World and Disneyland. I'm not sure. But they're... The UN ambassador for Israel said it's not a hostile step towards Somalia, nor does it preclude future dialogue between parties. Recognition is not an act of defiance. It's an opportunity. It says, goes on to say, Israel's recognition of Somaliland gives it a potential strategic partner in countering Yemen's Houthis that during the Gaza war traded blows with Israel and whose attack vessels on the Red Sea have disrupted shipping there. So you've got, and we know the Somali pirates, right? So you have this part of Somalia that says we're not Somalia, we're Somaliland. And they've been doing, and they have their own, I think they have their own currency, they have a security force, they all this going on, right? So they have established themselves, kind of carved out their own area of Somalia, and they call it Somaliland. What an interesting ally this is, because even though Somaliland is not Somalia now, it is, I mean, I don't know what the percentage is going to be, but I imagine it's well in the 90% of being Islamic, right, of Muslims in the country. The first country that recognizes them is the Jewish state. It's just, and so with the Somali news, you can get all the Somali, Minnesota Somali news you want. You can get that on Fox News right now. But I thought it was interesting that you have Israel recognizing Somaliland as an independent state. And will more countries come in now? It's just something to watch. All right. Also, yes, we will come back. We'll talk about the CIA. And I like how they said the CIA carried out the drone strike earlier this month on a port facility off the coast of Venezuela. The CIA using U.S. military. So that's... And also, I saw this discussion earlier. This came up yesterday. They said they hit a dock in Venezuela. And then some people said, well, it was a wharf. And then some people said it was a pier. Do you know the difference between them? Getting that and the story when we come back and hear from you at 343-0106.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:20, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, a segment of the show brought to you by my buddies at Stone Arms, Jeff Stone, who is the grand poobah there, but he's got a fantastic crew working with him. You're thinking about January 2nd, the big day. What's January 2nd? Look at your calendar, January 2nd. What does Sullivan talk about? So January 2nd is the day that you can not pay the government to get your tax stamp green light for a suppressor, a silencer, a can. Okay, so let's go through this. So great selection in stock, even still after the Christmas. They stocked up big time. But the number of cans you can pick up at Stone Arms for whatever rifle, handgun you're shooting, which, by the way, I need to get Jeff on. And duck hunters out there, listen to this. I was reading some stuff the other day about putting suppressors on shotguns. Would that be awesome? Because I think lots of my hearing damage has come from a duck blind over the years with shotguns going off. They're talking about being able to do that. How they're going to work it out, I don't know. We'll have to get Jeff on. But back to the subject at hand. So January 2nd, you'll be able to make your application to the ATF and not pay the $200 fee. Well, you know what's going to happen. Airbuddy, who's been sitting on the sidelines, is going to jump in then. And they're also then, when they get their forms back from, you know, their green light, which, by the way, you can do that process. I've told you time and time again how easy it is at Stone Arms to go through the process of getting your tax stamp to get your suppressor, silencer, can. It took me 20 minutes. And it's like Jeff calls it a kiosk. Y'all, it's a computer on the wall. And you just put your information in and go to next and go to next. It doesn't let you screw up, you know, where you're putting stuff in. Takes your fingerprints there. The photograph sends it all together. All right, so coming up January 2nd, people are going to hit that website big time. They'll be at Stone Arms. They'll be doing it online. They'll do it paper for. As soon as 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, 2 months go out from that, people will be getting their green light, and they're going to – the number – I just don't think the product – I think the product is going to be tough to find for a while. So I'm saying this, if right now you're thinking about, I'm going to do this come January 2nd because I've been waiting, but I want to save the $200. Because if y'all remember Big Beautiful Bill, people said, oh, they're going to get rid of the requirement. And they didn't, but they got rid of the $200 that went with the requirement. Go now to Stone Arms and you can do like a layout. You can purchase the suppressor you want. Okay. And then you pay for it, hold it. And then when you get the green light, it's still waiting for you. Stone Arms still has it for you, because I'm telling you right now, this is I'm a student of human nature, and it's going to be a ton of people coming in January 2nd, putting their forms in, and then at weeks and months out from that, as all those forms get cleared, it's probably going to gum up the system. I think probably be like the old days of, it only took me 2 weeks to get my green light, but I think it's going to go back to being longer than that. Then there'll be all this flood of people going into the market and buying these, and they won't be on the shelves. The manufacturers probably are trying to ramp up to keep up with it, but I think it's going to be tough. So if you're thinking about doing this, this is just the move I would make. If you're going to do this, go out to Stone Arms today and get that purchase for your silencer. Go ahead and purchase it. They'll hold it there for you. As soon as you get your green light from the feds, come in and start shooting suppressed, which is fantastic. It's really been a lot of fun. And the nice thing is, too, you can get one suppressor that goes on different rifles. I've got one that fits possible modern sporting rifles, we'll call them, that I have, and once you go on deer rifles that I have. So check them out. It's Stone Arms. They're just about so go out there, shop with them today, get the purchase done today, and even if you're waiting until January 2nd to get your form in, do it today for the purchase. They are just about a quarter mile west of on Airport, west of Snow on the south side. So just Airport west, cross Snow, right there, quarter mile on your left on the south side of the road. Online at stonearmsinc.com. Go check them out today. All right, let's go to, CIA. So the story from CNN, so take that with a grain of salt, but said the CIA carried out a drone strike earlier this month on a port facility off the coast of Venezuela. Sources familiar with the matter said, marking the first known U.S. attack on a target inside that country. The drone strike, details of which have not been previously reported, targeted a remote dock on the Venezuelan coast that the U.S. government believed was being used by the Venezuelan gang Tren de Aragua to store drugs and move them onto boats for shipping. No one was present at the facility at the time it was struck, so there were no casualties, according to the sources. It's like G.I. Joe used to be, remember? G.I. Joe, G.I. Joe and Cobra would go head-to-head and be battling it out, but nobody got killed. Said two sources said U.S. Special Operations Forces provided intelligence support to the operation, underscoring their continued involvement in the region. But Colonel Weisskopf, spokesperson for the U.S. Special Operations Command, denied that, saying, quote, Special Operations did not support this operation to include intel report. Intel support. This is the stuff that I get interested in. Once again, according to their reporter, two sources said Special Ops, U.S. Special Ops, provided intelligence support to the operation. Then they get the Colonel Weisskopf, spokesperson for U.S. Special Operations Command, said Special Operations did not support the operation. Which one is it here? President Trump appeared to first acknowledge the attack in an interview last week that initially attracted little notice, though he offered a few specifics, including when reporters asked him directly about it yesterday. The strike could significantly escalate tensions between the U.S. and Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro, who the U.S. has been pressuring to step down through aggressive military campaign. And we know the rest of the story. So that's it. So they said they hit a floating dock there. Now, does it make a point that we can get you anywhere, anytime? Sure. Any of y'all that built I've built two different floating docks over the years, and I didn't have drug money financing it, they're going to find another one to put up. So I just, it's, the latest story is like, oh, they got this dock. Good, I think, because it lets them know that we can hit them inside, you know, if you believe we should be doing that, which I don't. But does it put Trender Aragua on their heels because we blew up a floating dock? I don't know. All right, to the text line here, let's see. David said this Alabamian of the Year vote proves there are quite a few dirty-minded people in the area. You know, the Fairhope story, David, and Terry said it yesterday quite succinctly. I think it does the title of the story right. It gets attention. But I do think going forward, we're going to talk about this story a lot. I think there's a question about free speech and obscenity law inside a state, and you know what is what municipalities, areas can have their own, you know, community view of what that is. Like I said this yesterday, studying this at the University of Alabama, Roll Tide, you learn that okay, there are obscenity laws, but then there's a community interest, right? There's what's okay nationally might not be in a certain community. So that I do think that story is going to carry on. All right, let's see. Laura said, my New Year's resolution is to finish last year's. I came close and stay positive. That's awesome. Yes, you got to finish up last year's before you get onto this year's, right? C.B. Carl said, Sean, Laura, and I were just talking about the fact they must have blown up a wharf and not a dock unless they were bombing empty boats at the dock. Just don't bomb the pier because those people might have been fishing. I spent a lot of years wiring docks and piers, but never wharves. So wharves, this is a funny thing. So every on the Eastern Shore, we're talking about the wharf. We're going out on the wharf. Those are piers, actually. And is this nerdy, nitpicky? Of course it is. So wharves run along a water, along a bank. So a wharf is an area that's running parallel down the bank to unload ships or whatever, right? That's a wharf. A pier is shooting out in the water, right? A dock is kind of, it's in between cousin. Docks, you can bring boats up to them and offload, but they don't usually have the breadth of a wharf and the length of a pier. Why I know that, I have no idea, but that's a thing. So they are different. Wharves that people, and listen, I grew up here. We called all these things wharves over the years. Oh, so-and-so's wharf, so-and-so's wharf. I was catching redfish off so-and-so's wharf. They're piers, by definition. What you see along the Mobile River, combination docks, and then when they're offloading there, those are wharves. So use that to, if you were in the strangest game of Trivial Pursuit ever and that came up, you would know it now and you could win. All right, coming back, April Marie Fogle joins us. Also, hour number two, Kyle Hamrick. And speaking of boats, my buddy Bryant Knight from Team Fight or Die and the story of the Whoopi, the boat that he first rode across the Atlantic with his team that was lost at sea a couple years ago, has been found at sea. He'll give us that story a whole lot more. That's coming up at 1:30. All right, news next, and then April Marie.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 12:35, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. At the last Tuesday show of, this is stupid, why do I keep doing it? The last Tuesday show of 2025, the last time to talk to April Marie Fogle in 2025 as well. She's with 1819 News. It's come to an end here. April Marie, your biggest year of residence so far as a guest host at FM Talk 106.5, 2025, probably bigger and better in 2026. Welcome.
Well, it's good to be here. And yes, I already have a date set for filling in for Jeff. I believe it's the 6th. So I will be back soon.
Okay. Let's clear off the most important stuff before we get to the news. How was Christmas?
Christmas was good. Christmas is really good. I got a necklace, which I've been shopping around. I wanted a kind of an everyday necklace to wear, which is what I got, which is a beautiful diamond cross. And
what
then,
makes a necklace an everyday? Is it the value of the necklace, the style of the necklace? What makes it an everyday versus a special occasion necklace?
Really, for me, I like something that's simple and dainty and will go with everything. You know, I've got like special occasion necklaces that, you know, are have bigger or, you know, fancier or, you know, maybe just more stylish. So I've got a variety of them in my room, but an everyday necklace is one I don't feel like I have to change out if I'm dressing up or down.
Okay. All right. So that was your, anything else you want to add to that list?
So that was my main gift. And then my daughter also got me, she's really into Kendra Scott right now. So I got a Kendra Scott with all of the kids' birthstones on it.
What is that? I have no idea the words you just said.
Kendra Scott is a brand of women's jewelry. They make neck. If a woman knows Kendra Scott, you can look at somebody and go, oh, that's a Kendra Scott. It's like a style of jewelry. And so she's been collecting Kendra Scott stuff. And so I got a bracelet.
Very good. All right. So mm-hmm. That's pretty good. I haven't even talked about my Christmas yet.
What did you get?
Trying to think. And these things, as gifts, will define me, maybe, right? I'm trying to think off the top of my head. A new can crusher.
Okay.
New can crusher for, you know, recycling cans to make them, you know, smaller.
So practical.
Oh, and I'm so excited. Been running that new can crusher like crazy. Lights for the camper. Like lights to go around the awning to light it up on the outside of the camper, which I, you know, it's fine. Decoys. Speckabelly goose decoys, pearl snap shirts. I think that's it. Oh, and sweatpants.
Pearl snap shirts.
Yeah, because I wear those pearl snap. So yeah, more pearl snap shirts because there's like uniform for me for the last decade. Camper lights, can crusher, decoys. Yep, that's there. You go. So nothing from Kendra Scott, but
there you go. I will say the highlight gift in our house has been my middle son. Has been real, I mean, for a while, probably started last Christmas, but has wanted a 3D printer. And so we have a 3D printer, and it is probably about equal, him using it and me using it. It is so much fun.
Okay, hopefully you stick with it, because I bought one for my son, who, by the way, this year, and people who helped me with this, it was a super hit. My son got a welder this year, but a couple years ago, he got the 3D printer. And it was interesting to him and his older sister, who takes over all his cool toys, for about two. I thought all these great things would happen, and then, like, they just didn't do it anymore. I don't know.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well, I've figured out. So my son's been printing fidgets and little toys, basically small toys, for days. And then I figured out I can print, if you make rosaries, which is an odd mm-hmm. hobby, but a very, very soothing hobby, you use a little knot-making tool. You can print those and personalize those. So I made one for the lady who taught me how to originally make rosaries. And then I've made a couple of rosaries and a couple of fidgets myself. But I'm kind of having fits right now because I started a rosary before I went to bed last night, and the spool keeps getting stuck, and so I have to, it's now stubbed at least 3 times.
Okay. Does it make a mess? Like the one I remember, it was like, there's a lot of mess that was with
So, yeah, well, there's and I need to print. You can print a little container for the mess to go into, but there, it, you know, there is a where you change colors or it you stop and start it. It runs a little bit of filament onto the side. So I was just kind of poking around the studio maker, the little where or maker's thing where you can pick out what you want to create. And I need to you print your own bowls, print your own cups, print your own random things, and I need to print one of those.
Okay, another thing you should look at making is because it reminded me because it kind of looks like one that my daughter got her. It's not a rosary, but it has some of the same accents. It's a this is the kids are doing steering wheel adornment. Steering I don't know what you call it like a it's got Mary on it and it's like a charm. Okay, that's right, charm. That's a term.
Charm.
And when she started telling me, I said you need to be driving the car, not worried about this. Hear me in full dad mode. You need to worry about driving your car, not bedazzling your steering wheel. But it's the thing. Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's like a rosary. I mean, it's a rosary that goes on the steering wheel, like a mini rosary on this.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, I need, yeah.
And then you can add different charms. Yeah.
Because I don't know if you know this about me, I have a severe disability when it comes to sizing. So I can look at measurements and they mean nothing to me, right? And so I was like, oh, that's cute. But I had no sense of the size in my head. And so I printed a rosary that's just way too big for anything functional. And so I put that on my rear view mirror. And I'm trying now to print regular size. But in my head, somebody said, how big is the 3D printer? And I was like, yay, hi. I don't know, a foot or 2 feet. I have no idea. I can't describe it.
So next Christmas, you need a tape measure?
One that I could carry around everywhere because I cannot for the life of me. Oh, is that a foot? Is that 2 feet? I'm like, ooh, I don't know.
Yeah. So next year, it's the gift of a tape measure. All right.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Okay, so this is the time of year too that radio shows do like, hey, it's the montage, the retrospective of the year in the past, and we have our Alabama in the Year contest we just wrapped up. But I was looking at, I think it was CBS put it up. And I know it factually, but it hit me when it said, you know, the year in review. Donald Trump inaugurated in 2025. Does it seem like, it seems like longer than that.
It does seem like longer than
that. Can you believe it's just this year? I mean, that's wild.
It's so funny because, this week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, I'm filling on 99.5 for 4 hours in the afternoon. And I was like, these are the great things the Trump administration did this year. And there's so many. And you know, you and I have talked a lot about Doge. I think this Minnesota Somali nonsense is going to bring that back. You see Elon talking a lot about things that they found. And so I think we're going to see the resurrection of Doge in the beginning of 2026, which is great.
You do. I hope you're right. I've been beaten down by this because I was probably the biggest cheerleader of the Doge idea. That's kind of my conservative. That's the world I live in, is efficiency. That's what get me. And it seemed to just not just hit speed bumps, but eventually hit a brick wall.
No, it really has. And I think part of that is the media cycle. The media was so against it. They really, really wanted to paint this as a life or death thing. They didn't want to talk about the simple, oh, you've got 5 million extra, you know, licenses for programs nobody uses anymore. Mm-hmm. You've got, you know, Muppet shows in foreign countries. They didn't want to talk about those things. They wanted to say, oh, you're killing the kids with AIDS. Oh, you're hurting the, you know, they wanted to really misconstrue the efforts and put a halt to it all. And they were successful at that. They were successful where the Trump administration was like, kind of quietly go about our business. I think we need to go back to, like, we need big sweeping changes. And if something gets broken, you fix it as you go.
Yeah. And I mean, there was a moment here recently when, you know, the big hubbub about the last pennies being minted. I just started there. You know, to me, that's the lowest hanging fruit where you would have said, here's how Doge works. It cost us whatever, 10 cents to make a penny. And I'd have worked up from there. But
well, and yeah, that's a big 2025, you know, the year the penny went away. And by the way, they're not going away. Like, and I get these dramatized the stores with the signs. There's no pennies. We're going to be rounding up or down. You're like, there are plenty of pennies. Like if any one person needs a penny, they can ask a friend and there's a jar of them at home. This is ridiculous. But yes, this year the penny went away.
Well, and I have the big water bottle, whatever the old like Kentwood water bottles full of them too. I'm cornering the market on that, so I'm going to be good. So you think 2026, the year Doge returns, what do you think in the first quarter here? I mean, because Trump is also out campaigning, like he's running for office, trying to save the midterms here. Well, I mean, what is the messaging going to be? We got Doge. Is he going to back off things or is he going to keep charging? And, you know, if you're in a swing district, then all of a sudden you're like, oh, man, you're making it hard on me. I mean, what do you think the flavor, well, the vibe? What are the vibes? What's it giving?
Here's the thing is, a lot of people are not realizing how much we can't get done because of the Senate and because of the slim majority in the House. If we lose the House entirely, like there goes the big things that Trump wants to do, right? He's been able to do more than we probably expected, more than I expected, I would say. And I really think that we're going to see 2026. It's the make or break. How much of this change do you want to continue? What I talked about yesterday was I want immigration to ramp up, and they're doing things to ramp up deportations. I want deportations to continue and ramp up. I also want the dismantling of the Federal Department of Education and restoring that to the states. But when you restore to Alabama, we've got a lot of work to do here. We've got to make sure our State Board of Education officials are actually doing what the parents want. We've got to make sure that our charter school commission gets completely redone, because right now it's a bunch of Democrats. There's a lot of opportunity for change here in Alabama. So I'm looking at what happens on a federal level and then the domino effect that comes down to here to the states.
You mentioned Congress, though, and this is the part that people say, well, Trump did this and Trump did that. Things that are done by executive fiat there can just look after Trump's first term, can be just as easily undone. So if things don't get codified here,
then
it's all going to just be 4 years of this. And then, I mean, if you think Vance is going to win, then one thing. But if the Democrats take back control, it was just an experiment for 4 years.
Well, and that's the checks and balances, right? Like if the Congress doesn't do something, if the legislative branch doesn't come back and say, okay, that executive order was a good one, let's now make sure that we've passed the law that we've related to this. You can say this for nearly anything, right? Like Trump has said, okay, we are not going to experiment mentally, or we're not going to experiment on kids with gender dysphoria, right? And so then it comes to Congress to say, okay, we're going to stop the funding of that and then put laws that safeguard. There's a process if you want that to continue. Otherwise, the next, cuckoo bird that gets elected and as a Democrat gets to undo everything. And we're continuing. The border crisis is a perfect example of there was Biden's 4 years of just an open door policy. It's going to take 10 years, 12 years, to maybe longer than that to fundamentally fix this.
Yeah. And if we don't get it codified into law, it's a waste both ways. You did all this stuff and then it goes right back. All right. I want to talk to you before we wrap up here, too. One of your stories over at 1819news.com, speaking of money and wastefulness, it says, we weren't expecting the governor on the way out the door to max out the credit card. Pringle renews call for Transportation Commission amid West Alabama corridor boondoggle. More of this story. What's going on now?
So short version of is, well, first off, and for your listeners, because he's right there in that area, Chris Pringle has been championing.
Been on the show many times, yes.
Yeah, changes to boards and commissions since before I met him. And usually trying to get rid of them, trying to take away their power stronghold. What he's saying in this story is, look, part of the reason we have these unfinished highways all over the state is because we don't have a long-term plan. And part of the reason we don't have a long-term plan is this is a political position, the Department of Transportation director. I pulled up yesterday when I was on air, just put in John Cooper, Aldott, scandal or trouble, and you get story after story, year after year. And this isn't somebody who's professional doing the job and looking at it in a professional way. What Pringle is saying is, to stop the political, shenanigans of the Department of Transportation, we need to take this away from the governor. We need to make it its own, like the Port Authority, its own, agency or its own commission where you've got your commissioners and then they choose based on professional standards. And mm-hmm. it's, you know, one of those things where you're like, that makes a lot of sense, because at one point in the story, Pringle says that ALDOT director says, there is no plan. You know, I'm paraphrasing here, but there is no plan. I do whatever she wants me to do, being Ivy. And that shouldn't be the way. You can't really run a state infrastructure program based on the whims of the current governor.
No, and the problem is that these are positions and think largesse that's rewarded for people that support people running for office, right? I'm running I'm probably the only person in the state pushing for this, but we have something called the Conservation Advisory Board, right, that oversees like game and fish laws and those kind of things. And those are political appointments. I would like to make it an elected position out there where the people could speak. But it's like these jobs, you know, there's so many of these jobs that are the, you win, you get to give your friends and influencers these jobs. Right?
Oh, absolutely.
They're not based on if you're good at the thing. They're based on, did you support the person running for office?
Yep. And we see that so frequently at these boards and commissions. And then they end up, it's not the best job. Right now, we don't have the best transportation mind in the state in this position. We have somebody who's going to play the game of politics.
Correct.
And has used it to play politics basically as long as I've been paying attention. It's been a while.
Yeah, ever since I can remember. All right, people can read that story over at 1819news.com and a whole lot more from April Marie. And if they want to get in touch with you online, how do they do it?
Yeah, X is the best place, APRYLMARIE.
Good stuff, and Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
All right, there she goes, and we'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
Is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
At 12:54, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. He and I have been chatting back and forth on text throughout the day about tractors. We've got those in stock. How are you looking on RTVs? How are you looking at RTVs with doors and windshields on them when it's cold like this?
We're good right now, Sean. We got plenty of the RTVs in stock, enclosed cabs like you're speaking on, with the AC and the heat, built-in radios. You know, they're ready to go. So we got plenty of the gas and diesel models in stock in a variety of different colors.
Okay, let's talk about skid steers, because, I mean, it's like, man, I got so much work done with that skid steer I rented from y'all earlier this year. What's your selection looking like on skid steers?
We're good there. We got open cabs and enclosed cabs with the high flow, all the different attachments in stock, so we can form it to a package for you, as well as the trailers in stock. Is, you know, we can bundle it up, finance it all together. Kubota's still offering that zero interest financing right now. Take advantage of it. Who knows if it will be here by Thursday or Friday. So,
okay, that's something that could, so if somebody's been on the fence about that, that's something that could change in 2026.
It very well could change. I don't know until, you know, we get into the office. We'll be out Thursday, but back Friday morning. When we get back Friday morning, that's when we'll find out. So I don't have any information on what it looks like later in the week, but right now I know they still offer it.
Okay, and also, y'all do like I do. I mean, you go by the store and see the stuff in person, but I may or may not be sneaking onto the website throughout the week, seeing what comes in. Talk about that. People can look at the new stuff, the pre-owned inventory, all that there.
Yeah, so you can go to our website, parrishtractor.com. You can browse through the new selections of equipment, but also all of our pieces that we trade in are pre-owned. So it's a wide variety of stuff on that tab on our website. It's not just tractors or skid steers. It's implements. It's side-by-sides. It's zero-turn mowers. A little bit of everything.
Yeah, man. You and I are going to be talking zero-turn mowers a bunch soon, because it's not going to be long before the grass is growing.
It won't
again.
Be long at all.
All right. Blaine, so check those deals out. Check them out on the website or in person. And we'll talk again very soon. If not, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to y'all as well, Sean. Thank you.
All right. There goes Blaine at Parrish Tractor. Yeah, he and I have, and by the way, they work with you on, been trying to find another tractor here, yet another, as some people in my life would say, yet another tractor. And he's because they've got a network of their dealerships. So even if something comes in, you know, over Mississippi, they know about it in Alabama, vice versa. So they're really good. If you're looking for something specific, ring up Blaine and get on the phone with him, and he will help you a whole bunch. All right, to the text line here, to Squirrel Vereen said, I have lots of pennies for April Marie Vogel's thoughts. You know, pennies for your thoughts doesn't hit the same way it used to, does it? Daphne Leatherneck said, I think it would be great if we would actually govern our politicians under the UCMJ. They work for us, not the other way around. It's time they understood that. Yeah, so, you know, what Daphne Leatherneck as Marine would have to deal with UCMJ, if the politicians would as well. It'd be interesting. See if they'd sign up. It's like having the inmates, you know, vote for longer term or longer sentences, though. You're not going to get... there'll be an occasional politician says, oh, I'm going to do this. That just kind of fizzles out like a wet bottle rocket. Speaking of which, I can't wait. We've got some of the fireworks purchased already for the New Year Eve Firework Fantastical. We've still got more to come. Excited about that. Y'all gotten your fireworks yet? You good? You know it's legal in the city of Mobile on New Year's Eve to shoot them. So thought I'd put that in. Coming back, Kyle Hamrick from Lania.
There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that.
This is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby. That's right. This man knows what's up.
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, here we go. FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Phone number has not changed. And in 2026, unless there's something I don't know, it doesn't change either. It's been that way for 16 years now. 251-343-0106. 251-343-0106 for a call or a text. And with the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can always leave us a talkback message when you're on the app. Front page of the app, you'll see the microphone icon. If you press that, lets you record a message, emails it to the show, and I can play it back here on the air. All right, without further ado, and yes, I'll continue to be cheesy about this. For the last time this year, my chance to say, hey, Kyle Hamrick from Laniap. What's up, man?
Hey, man. How are you doing?
I'm good for the end of the year. Pretty good. You said Christmas was good for y'all? Nice.
Christmas was good. We spent it with my fiance's family in lovely St. Louis, Missouri, which, contrary to belief, was not a frozen tundra this time of year.
It's returning to that. It's returning to that, though. Yeah. I watched my weather scan, and they're getting cold again. But you were there during the warm-up.
Right. It was in the 60s, a little bit of the 70s there. So they definitely knew that I was coming and brought out some Mobile weather for us.
Okay. What's your what'd you get for Christmas? What's your, like, one present? Can you think of off the top of your head? What'd you get?
The one present that stood out to me, my very nice fiance got me a framed printing of a map of Mobile Bay from 1763. So it's in a nice wood frame. You know, you can't quite see the Lanyap World headquarters on the map, but you can, you know, see some other neat stuff like Dog River, the bay. It's very nice. A very nice gift.
Is this your first foray into maps, like framed maps?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Welcome to the club. People in the listen a long time know that is, if you come to my office here, go to my house, artistic maps are like my, even it just regular nautical charts. I'm a map freak. It's funny, like we never talked about before. Welcome to the club. I've got historical maps, hand drawings, up to current navigation maps. That is, that's, as a kid, that's my jam.
Oh, yeah.
Love that.
I have loved maps.
1763.
For a long time, and, yeah, 1763. So this was still in the early days here. You know, this was, you know, somewhat long ago.
I have 1,800 ones. Hold on. I know what I'm supposed to be doing a radio show, but right now I'm Googling for the... Yeah, there's one. Okay. We'll have to talk later because I have to get... I do not have that map, and I need to have that map. All right. And so that beats my, you know, my number one I've been talking about is my can crusher. I got a heavy-duty can crusher.
Huh. So is that going to help to help you get some recycling done?
I do a whole bunch of recycling, aluminum recycling, and I do it, but...
All right.
And I crush them by hand... But it's not as efficient because you're trying to get the most in the bag. Right. You know, take the
So
it's really upgraded my game here. I'll just say that.
Nice, very nice.
Okay, a story that, and you know, we've told y'all. Maybe you make it your New Year's resolution to get signed up for LaniatMobile.com because while the paper's out, and we'll talk about that weekly, you can get news updated every day. And Kyle and I were talking before we went on the air. You're putting the final touches on something that people will see on the website. More about the drama between the city and the county. And rent, and who's paying rent where, right? What's the latest here?
Right, right. So the latest, which will be on the website this afternoon and will be in the paper tomorrow, is the city is still going through the negotiations with the county for a better lease for its offices at Government Plaza. But part of that is... some city departments could be moving out of downtown and going to where the public could better access them, is what Mayor Spiro Terragata said today, and his chief of operations, James Barber. That came out during the pre-meeting work session. So
I mean, is this a threat here, or do you think this really has some teeth that they might... Because, I mean, if they're talking about, I mean, part of this is a negotiation, but part of it, if those offices that people have to visit more often were easier to get to, I think that's a win for the citizens.
Right. Makes sense to me. I think that this seems to me to be a little bit more than just like a negotiation tactic. This is something that they seem pretty serious on. Finding out which of the departments, the more forward-facing ones, the ones that people deal with on a daily basis, which of those could move out. The city seems serious on finding a new place for them. Where that will be and who, that has yet to be seen. District 4 Councilman Ben Reynolds said that he would like to see, you know, like the building and permitting folks, the business license folks, he would like to see them move out of downtown and possibly head westward to where, you know, a larger portion of the city could get to them, you know, with greater ease.
Well, central, like more centrally located.
Right, right. That's the idea here, you know, with some free parking, perhaps, maybe some less stringent checkpoints you have to get through. Mayor Spiro Terragata said today, you know, that a whole lot of folks are actually frustrated before they even get to a city window just because of the ordeal they've had to go through to get parked downtown, get through the checkpoint, to go put the pocket knife they accidentally brought back with them in their car, stuff like that. So They have not set a firm deadline for a final lease with the county and how much space they're going to keep in Government Plaza. But in the meantime, they're going to be finding out who will go and who will stay from the city departments.
Now, is there? I mean, they haven't said where, but do they have? I mean, the city's got, not the county, but the city has real estate, right? I mean, they have stuff that they own.
Right. That's right. And that's kind of where they're looking at, is putting some people there. Of course, any kind of new building would be very expensive and, in my opinion, very much out of the question. We've already got the Civic Center going up. The budget is tight. So they're going to see where they could put folks kind of in the buildings and properties that they already have. Hopefully, they've said, help save the city money. Because currently, we are paying the city is paying the old lease of $125,000 per month to the county for space in Government Plaza. In June, that lease jumped to about $235,000 per month. And that's the point from which the city is trying to, talk the county down and see what they need to do.
You know, it is interesting. I mean, it was a discussion I had with Councilmember Bo Fleming a few weeks ago, and this wasn't policy. He was just we're just talking, bouncing ideas. He said, well, maybe we just have fewer offices there, reduce the rent that way, have less square footage. I think that's interesting, and this could be part of it. Now, I think of this situation, the county also needs the city, because I know people say you put law offices in there or whatever, or Sparrow or whatever you can put in there, but the county, has a motivation to work on this negotiation, because I tell you what is worse than not enough rent is zero rent.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's definitely going to be something they're going to have to figure out if they're going to move into any space that is left open by the city, or if they're going to put somebody else in there. It's a fine line that they're going to have to walk here. And we'll see how those go. I personally would gladly keep a Sbarro in business in Government Plaza. I think that is a great move.
Some baked ziti.
Some baked ziti or one of those the Strombolis that they used to have that were fantastic. That's a good pairing with chicken salad chick. That they have in there now. You can give folks some options.
Yeah, there it is. So, Sbarro coming soon. You did not hear it from us.
Please.
We did not actually say it. We're joking. Okay, so I'm looking at we do this thing every year, Alabamian of the Year, the person, place, thing, event that most moved the news cycle in 2025, or whatever given year it is, in our state. And it does get to be centered here in Southwest Alabama, because it's where we all live. This one did not win. The Fairhope costume won. But this story, I thought, should have been in the finals, and it wasn't, because I have never seen such interest in a ship around Mobile. I don't think so, other than the battleship, maybe. The SS United States arrival in Mobile, and then the tours and the drone videos and all this stuff. It got a conversation going right here at home, let alone this thing was going to Okaloosa County. It came out of New York, and now it's still not done. You said there's still more of this.
Right. So, this ship, it's a historic vessel, but gradually it has been, stripped down and scraped down, and there's very little of it left except for just the hull and, kind of the basic structures. But the city of New York, their city council, has said that, there's still plenty left of this ship to save it. A few days back, before Christmas, their city council passed a resolution to call on President Trump and Congress to step in, save this ship from Mobile and from becoming a reef in Florida, and to bring it back to New York and turn it into a museum that people can come to from all over the world. But they had their
chance. This is what drives me crazy, right? It sat there forever, and they had their chance. And it's not. It's like the. I thought about it when I first heard the story. I was like, if you got kids, y'all with kids who get this, the kid can have a toy that they do not care about. But then their cousin or a friend shows up and starts playing with the toy, and then all of a sudden, it's their favorite toy ever.
Right. Well, and this ship sat in a dry dock in Philadelphia for many years. It was built in New York, and I believe it sailed from there for a long time. But I think that they've missed the boat here. I talked to the spokesman for Okaloosa County in Florida, which bought the boat to turn into a reef. He said, you know, that the city of New York has no claim to this vessel. We own it, and we fully intend to sink it in the Gulf and make it an artificial reef. What I think would be the world's largest artificial reef. He said that the SSUS set some records in its time. I think it made the fastest trip to and from Europe via the Atlantic.
It was the Concorde aircraft, right. was it in its heyday. It's a big deal.
So it's got that record.
Yeah.
But now it'll be a record-breaking reef, is what he told me.
Well, okay. But, I mean, Okaloosa, I'm having trouble. I mean, Okaloosa bought it, right? I mean, the money's been paid.
Right. The money's been paid, and then they're putting up some money, too, to strip it down and get it cleaned. And, you know, they've removed the smokestacks, which I believe are going to be part of a museum in Florida on the SSUS. So it's not like they're just going to sink it and, you know, forget it was, you know, here. There are plans to commemorate it on land in Florida, but New York City does not think that's enough.
Okay. Y'all can catch that story, of course, right now at landyapmobile.com. The upcoming story about what's happening with the city of Mobile, maybe moving some offices out of Government Plaza, that and a whole lot more. When you get subscribed, tell folks how to do that.
Head to landyapmobile.com. We have a subscription tab that you can click on. You can find the plan that works best for you. It's a great way to start your new year. It's a resolution that you can keep. If you need some help, call the office. We'll get you set up.
Good stuff, Kyle. Happy New Year to y'all.
Thanks. Same to you, man. See you next year.
Yeah, that's right. See you next year. Coming right back.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
125 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Tuesday. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy David McCrary at LCM Motor Cars as we wind down this year and start looking at the next. Man, we talked about this yesterday. Financing wise, what are y'all getting? What's the feeling? Because rates have been dropping nationally. Are they dropping in your world too?
Oh yeah, the rates are better right now than I'd say that they've been in the last, what, 3-4 years at least. And they continue to get better. We see it coming, and that's all the way from the secondary lenders for the, you know, the folks that have the challenge credit, all the way to the people that have the perfect credit. So it's relative everywhere. Don't forget, you know, we can, if you're in bankruptcy, I mean, just because you've made some mistakes and whatnot doesn't mean that you're out of the game anymore. We can, if you're currently in bankruptcy, we can help you. We do have lenders that'll help you start reestablishing your credit while you're still in bankruptcy. So that's definitely one thing to think about.
And you can ask, I mean, with the website, you can check out financing there as well. I mean, you can see all the inventory, the vehicles, but you can do financing on there as well.
Yeah. I mean, on our website, you just, there'll be a link. You can click in there and send us some customer statement, and then we can get you pre-approved. And if we need anything from you, I mean, we'll just communicate back and forth with you via phone or email, whatever, and you can send it to us. We'll get it all done. When you get here, everything's already finished.
Okay, let's talk about the hours this week. When can we see you?
We'll be here all day today until 6 tonight. We're 9 to 6 tomorrow, and then we'll be all closed Thursday, and then back Friday 9 to 6, Saturday 9 to 2.
All right, good stuff, and we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy. Have a good weekend.
All right. There's our buddy David at LCM Motor Cars. Let's get a couple texts here. Let's see. Yeah, some other people chiming in on being map nerds. Yeah, this is like, I'm jealous. I have found that map that Kyle was talking about. I do not have that map. I got to have that map now. There's too many. Maps are like, they're utilitarian art. You know, I've been accused by women over the years that all I care about is utility. Well, there's an artistic flair to the utility of a map. So thank you for those texts here. Don, well, happy new year to you, Don, as well. And to Chris and so many of y'all, thank you, thank you. Kana says, oh, this is on my gift, my big can crusher. He said, I had a can crusher probably 30 years ago. I don't care, show off. Nice flex. Said the people I tried to sell them to wouldn't accept them because they used an airflow system that segregated normal cans from possibly weighted cans. I gave up on the endeavor. I literally had a refrigerator box full of useless crushed cans at the time. True story. It's just, this is, I've had a can crusher in the past. This new one's even better. And if you're recycling cans, I mean, if you don't have them all crushed, then, I mean, you look like, when I go haul them, it's like Grapes of Wrath, the back of my truck with like straps over everything and tarped and all that to try to. So we're going to get them very dense aluminum. That's the future here, dense aluminum. And, you know, the reason I think it's going to be good, when the Novelis plant gets rocking over by Bay Minette, I think that's why Novelis moved here, is because they knew the amount of Coors Light cans that we could produce here locally. And so that's why, you know, because businesses will go places, right, because of tax structure, infrastructure, right, those workforce, and raw materials. I mean, you look at the places where you produce steel, right, where's coal, where's, you know, taconite, where, you know, where are these things available? Where's the railroad, right, the old days? I think Novella's made the move. They realized there's some of us here that drank some cold beers, and they would be a source for aluminum for the, I mean, I'm not saying that's for sure, but that, I'm just, this is a theory I got. Michael, north wind is sucking the bay out. The bubble hole could be walked to near I-10. Today's a perfect day to go artifact hunting. We've always found some really cool stuff up the raft. And Blakely, when the weather's like this, it does expose a lot of banks, doesn't it, Michael? And it sure makes it tough on a duck hunter that stayed too long in their blind as well. Jerry in Fort Morgan, our neighbors to the east have also deployed several new FADS, which is fish attracting devices. It's a acronym, off the coast within 30 miles of Destin. Hopefully the coach will look into the transfer portal when he selects his marine fisheries commissioner. We'll see. I think we got a good person that's running the new person, Kevin Anson, in for marine resources. We have, I think we kind of rule the world when it comes to putting stuff on the bottom to track fish. I think Alabama has that title. And Keenan continues to have that title. All right, my buddy Bryant Knight, Team Fight or Die, joins us coming up in just minutes right here on Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, 135 FM Talk 106.5 at Midday Mobile. Welcome back. And y'all say hello to my buddy Bryant Knight, U.S. Army retired, the first man of Team Fight or Die with his team to row on purpose from La Gomera and the Canary Islands to Antigua.
Hey, Sean, how's it going?
It's good. It's good, man. Good to see you.
Good seeing you. And happy holidays.
Happy holidays to you, too. We'll pretend like we don't talk all the time. Like, yeah. So how were your holidays?
Yeah. Holidays were great. You know, it was quiet around
it's
the
It's not quiet. You have the... So he and the missus, Lori, have, like, this very cool house, and then, like, open up, and you cook tons of food, and you invite everybody in. That's, like, a great Christmas vibe.
Yeah, that's the vibe. That's the vibe we like to pull
off.
It's
a good one.
It's a good vibe.
Yeah, it's a good vibe, man. Yeah. And then we got a new year coming up here, so we'll figure out if you see a giant fireworks display on the bay, it may not be a municipality. It might be Bryant.
I don't know.
We'll see how that
that's
is.
That's the plan anyway.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. The story, this, and I go back here just to set this, because when people came to me and said, Sean, by the way, they found the whoopee. And I said, okay. They said, well, you seem to know about it. And I said,
you already knew.
I knew. I was told to keep my mouth shut. And so that's what I did. I kept my mouth shut. That's one thing I'm good at in the world. I do keep secrets.
You were the very first person that I told.
Yep.
When I found out. Actually, I was in Africa for work. And
you're texting me. You get better. I swear you get better cell coverage in some of the far-flung locations you go to for work than you do.
Yeah, I was in Nairobi.
Down the bay.
I was in Nairobi when I found out. And my wife had called me and told me, you know, Whoopi had been recovered. And, you know, my mouth dropped, really.
So we'll set the stage for the people who are new to this story, haven't followed this. So the Whoopi, the name of the rowing boat, the 28. I missed it by 2 feet. 28-foot rowing boat. The Whoopi. This is what took you and your teammates for that trip across. And honest to God, y'all, get your dang Google out and get the world map.
Yeah.
La Gomera in the Canary Islands.
Yeah.
Across that big Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. The pond.
The pond, yeah.
Yeah.
And rowing their way to the Caribbean.
Yeah. 3,000 nautical miles.
Okay. That is the boat that, and we've talked at the show at length about how it was laid out and all that. So y'all did the first year, did this
world's toughest row, and it's, that race is actually going on right now as we speak.
It starts this time of year because it's favorable winds, isn't it?
Yeah, the world is post hurricane season, so that's the big, you know.
Because the story we're talking about is pretty much 3 years ago to the day, or within 2 days of being 3 years ago. So y'all did that team. You started Team Fight or Die. You put all veteran rowing teams together for this challenge, right?
Yep. Well, that was the FOD 22. So, you know, each team is FOD whatever the year.
Which is fight or die. And y'all, it's cutesy because Bryant's cutesy, O-A-R, because they pull with oars, fight or die.
Yeah.
But y'all did the first, but you had subsequent years of different teams.
Well, I raced in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
Then we had a 2019 team, which was, you've talked to Evan Stratton. He was the skipper of the boat on that one. And then we had the 2020 team didn't go through. The 2021 team almost made it but didn't go through, meaning they didn't make it to the start line.
Mm-hmm.
2022.
Which, by the way, they trained here. They would train in Mobile Bay to cross the Atlantic, which is always kind of cool.
Yeah, they always train in Mobile Bay.
And
it's
then
the roughest sea in the world.
Yeah. Until you get to
It can be pretty rough.
Then it's a 2022 team, all Air Force team.
The all Air Force team, they were security forces, so they were law enforcement for the Air Force. With FOD 22, and they had made it to the race. Had been out to sea almost 2 weeks. It was December 28th.
Yeah, because y'all train. I guess when you go back, I mean, you train in Mobile Bay, then they have to ship the rowboat across the Atlantic.
Yeah.
Then you get there, and then you do train around the Canary Islands.
Yeah, this team had actually taken Whoopi to Lake Superior.
Mm-hmm, because there were some Yankees in this.
Yeah, there were some Yanks up there. And
which is actually a pretty good body of water to train in,
That's a good body of water to train in. We were okay with that. So they took Whoopi, and they trained for most part of the year in Lake Superior. And then kind of like the Crucible was, you know, they get all the judging eyes of us, all the coaches and former captains and crewmate, you know, crew members from the former teams. They get them down and get them to Mobile, and we put them through. And we do it in, you know, in August, so just the right time of year for somebody that's not used to being. And a lot of that's by design.
Sure.
You know, we want to put them through the ringer.
That's how you military folks are always.
Yeah, just make it easy on the
Back
end.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
The train there. So team goes, and so the 2022 team, they leave.
Yeah, they leave. And they start the race. They're out at sea for about 2 weeks. There was a winter storm that came across the U.S., much like the one that's going across right now. And then, you know, those storms, they just, once they hit the East Coast from west to east, you know, they don't really stop. They just keep going across the globe.
Right. We don't pay attention because once our, you know, U.S. weather people are talking about it, we're like, oh, that's done. But it's, no, it's not done.
It keeps moving.
Yeah.
It's going across the world. And so by the time it had hit them, you know, the weather was pretty gnarly. And when I mean gnarly,
give us some,
30 to 40 foot seas.
Y'all think about that for a second.
45 to 60, you know, knots, just heavy, heavy storm.
There's wind speed and 30 to 40 foot seas. Once again, we'll reset this. This is a 28 foot rowboat.
Yeah.
Okay. Rowboat. It is a rowboat. It is 28 feet with the four people in the team there.
Yeah.
3 to 4 story tall waves.
Yeah. Big water. Yeah. Big water.
And they're hitting this in the rowboat.
They're hitting it in the rowboat. Or it's rowboat's getting hit
by it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's that race, the entire fleet had had numerous distress calls throughout the night to the race committee on, you know, capsizings and people just boat returning back to upright and getting back on the water, you know.
And this communication is through satellite, because y'all are that, I mean, give me an idea of, like, there's nothing nearby. You're in the middle of the Atlantic.
Radio, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, all set, SATCOM. Whoopi gets swamped. You know, we got two crew members that are in the hull sleeping, and then two on deck that are rowing. And she doesn't upright. And so the team abandons ship, gets in the life raft. That was about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Now, picture this. I mean,
midnight,
dark
storm. Yeah, it's rough.
30 to 40 foot seas, middle of the Atlantic.
Yeah. Yeah.
That makes a hair stand up on your arm there.
Yeah. a lot of miracles happened, you know, for that team that night and the next several hours. So they were almost on a life raft for 23, 24 hours. I think they got noticed at hour 18.
Which is also amazing. Y'all think about how long you could sit in the Gulf if you're far enough out with nobody seeing you. And this is the middle of the Atlantic, and somebody sees them.
Well, no, they radioed. And if you listen to the story of their radio, so you have a ditch bag that every good sailor should have on their boat.
Even Gulf fishermen.
Even if you have a John boat and you're in the Delta, you need to have a ditch bag.
Mm-hmm.
Spare batteries. We had an extra satellite phone. And they had been hitting about every hour distress call on the SATCOM. And they actually had an ICOM radio, too. And so they're about every hour they're sending out a message. And the Hans Götberg, which was a freight liner coming out of, it was actually a Danish ship, was rerouted to refuel from South Africa and was just not in the normal shipping lane. Outside, trying to get back into the normal shipping lane, and heard the distress call, and they had heard it, but they couldn't. They could receive it, but they couldn't transmit.
Send back, right? I remember us talking.
And
about
so
that.
This is where the team's training came in, and I think a lot of the military training came in too. And something that's that I can remember even training in the military was, if you can't hear it, you know, give two clicks on the radio. And they gave two clicks on the radio when the team said, if you can hear us, give us two clicks on your radio. And it was two squawks. And so
that must have lifted spirits.
The ship rerouted. And a few hours later, in the middle of the night, pulled alongside a small life raft.
A transatlantic freighter, the size we're talking about, showing up next to a life raft.
Yeah. PBS has a documentary out on it. You can look it up. You know, it's out there. It's a harrowing story.
So they're rescued off the life raft. The Whoopi, which is the rowing boat we're talking about, is lost.
So the captain remembers, there's a statement that when I interviewed the captain, because when we repatriated the team, I interviewed the captain, and he was like, I saw two lights. We didn't know which boat to go to. We could see the Whoopi.
They could still see it.
But we could see the life raft. And so, you know, once we got closer, we went to the life raft. And
that was the last sighting of the Whoopi.
Whoopi was drifting off, yeah.
That was the last sighting. Yeah. So this is December 28th of 2022 or something?
Yeah.
Okay, so y'all picture, this is, it's gone. Then Brian blows my phone up here recently and just says, hey, Sean, you won't believe this, and sends me pictures of the Whoopi.
Yeah.
Here in 2025. So what's the story? What happened?
She's been adrift for almost 3 years. Well, 3 years to the date, the 28th. 3 years she's been adrift. And so the MCC, which is a rescue node for basically around the world, when they recovered her off the coast of France, they pulled up the EPIRBs. Naturally, they're registered to fight or die. And Laurie gets a phone call.
This is the missus. This is his wife.
Yeah, that's the boss.
The general.
Yeah, the admiral.
And the admiral.
The head honcho.
That's correct.
Yeah, so...
She gets a call. Now,
she gets a call.
Whoopi was lost. Give us an idea of, like, maybe the latitude. Maybe don't give us a number, but the, like... You know, give us an idea where the Whoopi was lost.
When the Whoopi was lost 700 nautical miles off the west coast of Cape Verde.
Okay, we're
which is a small island
out of Africa,
off the about the center of Africa. If you look at the continent, you'll see a little tiny island on the west coast.
Mm-hmm.
That's Cape Verde. It's a Spanish colony. Island's been there, you know, since time. But 700 miles west of it is when the event happened.
So y'all think about that. Picture the globe where the Whoopi's lost, and now they find it off.
So I have a theory.
Okay.
I have a theory, and this is just Bryant's theory on things that float around in the Atlantic Ocean.
Okay.
I think she hit the trades and stayed in the trades. Anybody that knows about the trades and
the trade winds
north of the equator and the mm-hmm. Atlantic will push you all the way towards the Caribbean.
Mm-hmm.
I think that she got close to the Caribbean, and I think she got caught by the Gulf Stream.
And sent back.
Sent all the way back up into the North Atlantic. Even like to end up in France, I think you really had to get pushed up into the North Atlantic.
Yeah.
So
something had to take you there. So they find it off the coast of France. How far out was it?
It was only like 20 nautical miles. Yeah.
It's wild.
It was a fishing boat that found her. Yeah. Yeah, I actually have plans to go meet the skipper of the boat and that entire team over there, shake their hands.
Well, we come back because people have questions about the Whoopi and what's coming up with that. We'll continue our conversation with Bryant Knight and the long missing, now found Whoopi after 3 years adrift.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right now, 1:52, FM Talk 106.5, Midday Mobile, hanging out with Bryant Knight, Team Fight or Die, the discovery of the Whoopi after 3 years at sea. It's an amazing story. In the meantime, Team Fight or Die had added a new rowing boat.
Mm-hmm.
Ocean, and these aren't ocean rowing boats.
These are ocean rowing boats.
This is like, y'all go Google that and see what we're talking about. These things are the Ferraris of the rowboat world.
Yeah.
So the Whoopi's found, mm-hmm. and now it's going to be the what's next. Because I got questions here.
What's next?
Yeah.
Well... great question.
That's what they're asking here. I mean,
that's a really good question.
Ben says, you know, I don't know where Whoopi's planning to go to next, but a display at Battleship Memorial Park would be cool.
Well, you know, I mean, if anybody that's followed Fight or Die knows the reason why Whoopi was built and what she stood for, and I think that's what really resonates with a lot of our followers and a lot of our military veterans. So if she ended up at Battleship Park, that I think that would be really cool. You know, she does have a story, and she has a,
yes.
You know, the fact that we found her she's been found is really amazing.
I mean, you talk about a needle in a haystack, a 28-foot boat in the Atlantic Ocean.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's.
Yeah. It's a needle in a haystack.
Let
me tell you a really cool story.
Yes. I like really cool stories.
So Will Jansen was one of the crewmates on that boat for 522. And he brought with him his dog tags, his father's, his grandfather's, and his great-grandfather's dog tags. And
amazing.
they were one of the few items that survived.
Well, that's what Michael's asking here. He said, can you ask Bryant if they're going to be able to rebuild the Whoopi? Also, it was awesome. So many things like the dog tags and the wallets were found after all those years being shipwrecked.
Yeah, those coins that so many people had, you know, there's a challenge coin.
Yes.
So many of the challenge coins that they they look like they've been living in the Atlantic for 3 years, but they survived. And so those are really cool items. You know, I'm really looking forward to getting those dog tags back to Will and
what I mean, the coins that back feeling to too. To I Nick. Mean, Yeah, I mean, first feeling is, okay, I survived. They get on that freighter. Yeah. I remember you flew up to meet the team when they got, they made, I think they went into Newfoundland.
They went to Canada.
Yeah, Newfoundland or Nova Scotia or somewhere in there. Yeah. You flew up there. And I know those men, those veterans were just happy to be alive.
Yeah.
But if I had, what a legacy of those dog tags, would have, that news, that might be second to I survived just 3 years later to hear that those things survived.
Yeah, it's, you know, I really don't have the words for it. I try to summon those words, but it's just to really, you know, express how I truly feel about, you know, this boat returning, and especially returning with some of those items.
Think about this, the tumbling and the rocking and the what we went through.
Yeah, the ocean does not stop.
No, and that stuff's still there.
Still there.
Don says, wow, what a story. Talk about angels on your new horizon. So thankful everyone was saved. Yeah. And, of course, the fisherman mind of mine wonders how many species of fish were schooling under there for 3 years. Believe me, Bryant has our same mind.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I can I do remember trying to catch for at least a week on a hand line little small dolphin fish.
Because all this stuff would school under y'all's boat when you were rowing.
Our boat for just teasing me. All I could think about was fresh sashimi and cutting that fish up.
Listen, you can take the boy out of Dog River, but you can't take the Dog River out of the boy, for
That's
sure.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, this is Michael said my kids got to meet all the guys and see the Whoopi the summer of 22 at Buccaneer, because that's where y'all trained out of. Mm-hmm. That team was awesome with the kids and really impressed them with all the supplies they had and how they had packed for the trip. That also, Michael, fascinated me when y'all packed.
Yeah.
Because y'all, once again, 28-foot boat, four men in the boat, two guys rowing all the time, and then two guys sleep or not rowing. Yeah. There's two little, I mean, y'all, when he said these are little cubicles. It's not like they're down in a stateroom in the Whoopi. I mean, let's be frank, those little end cap things.
Yeah, it's a spaceship.
Lack of space ship. And then they had to carry everything on the trip.
Yeah, that was part of the training. I mean, we make them pack and then unpack it all and then pack it, repack. And, I mean, anybody that's ever put the uniform on and knows how to, you know, prepare for whatever mission, you're going to pack your gear and you're going to be told to unpack it and repack it. And that we did the same thing with these teams. And it fortifies their knowledge of what they know and what they have in their boat, where it is in their boat. Some of that, the food was still good. The reports that we got from the port officer at La Rochelle, so
we're enjoying the beef stroganoff from Mountain House or whatever.
Yeah. I told them they could have it. I certainly don't want it.
I wonder what was it, Mountain House? What brand?
Yeah, that's back when we were sponsored by Mountain House.
Okay, time to call them. There's an ad campaign.
Oh yeah, I didn't even think about that.
But that's why you're with me, brother.
Yeah.
All right, people want more information as this goes on. They follow you online?
Yeah, follow Fight or Die on Facebook or Instagram. You know, there's a GoFundMe if anybody wants to contribute to the return of Whoopi.
Yes.
She's coming back to Mobile one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
I plan on meeting her in mid-January. I'm going to fly out to France and just lay eyes on it and retrieve the personal items for the crew. And, and then get her back to Mobile. She needs to come back home.
That's what everybody's saying here.
Yeah.
Like, let's get her home. Yeah. So there is a GoFundMe to help do this mid-January. I will hopefully bring your phone, and we'll talk about it when you lay hands on her.
Yeah, yeah. She's all barnacled up, but
what did I tell you when we were texting? I said, it just needs a little wax.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, maybe a little wax.
A couple of scurries. You just grab your scraper.
That's right. I get a little scraper, and I got that wheel, the nice buffing wheel to put the heavy wax on the fiberglass boats.
That's right.
We'll be good, brother.
We know how to do it.
Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year to you, too.
All right. Paul Feinbaum on the way next. Talk to you tomorrow.